Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott make questionable choices as they decide to voluntarily drink Thread Count, a wine by Joe Wagner. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's really good to be here. I'm kind of looking forward to this bottle of wine we've got before us tonight.
Are you?
I am. The Thread Count.
Yes, on tonight's show, we have another wine from Joey Wagner and his merry men, or just him.
Listen, you don't want to like him, but the fact is we do.
We don't.
We do.
No, we don't.
We do.
We don't like... No, we
yes,
don't.
We do.
We don't.
And on what grounds don't we like him?
Mayomi? Elowan?
No, we like the Elowan.
Eh.
Eh? Mm. But
you, how much? Listen, how
you're going
you
way.
Drinking
you're
it?
Going way back. And
he caused Bonanza. Copper Cane Wine Company.
Copper Cane? That's not all bad stuff.
Mm. This wine, though, is Thread Count, and Thread Count is the lesser label of Quilt, which is the lesser label of, I don't know.
It's like the lesser of between me and Rob. Rob's the lesser label.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Thread Count, Quilt. Let's just start off with Quilt. Quilt is a Joe Wagner creation. It's a Napa Valley Cabernet and some other red blends mixed in there. The Napa Valley, I'm sure you've seen it everywhere. It's at grocery stores and gas stations.
$50,
$55? Yeah. It's actually not bad.
It's actually, folks,
it kind of
really good. I would argue.
Slow down.
I'm
really good.
I would argue that Quilt at its price point is better than Camus at its price point. I would argue that.
Well, okay, you're arguing that a wine that's is good is better than a wine that is good at... They're about the same quality, really.
I'm arguing that the $50 wine is a better... Here we go.
It's a better value.
There you go. What's the...
You're still drinking
it.
Wagner
say
products.
It. Do it.
What?
QPR.
I'm not saying that.
Say it.
I'm not saying
quality
that.
Quality to price ratio, folks. Quality to price ratio.
Do you have
ratio.
A speech impediment? Triple B is down here.
Triple B is down here, and I might point out that a really good way of doing it is the cracker with the caprese salad on it.
I don't think you can eat the cracker.
No, you cannot. It is not good
for you. Oh, I'm sorry. You can't have the cracker. I'm sorry. I said that. That was wrong on my part.
Well, on tonight's show, we do have Thread Count. There are two Thread Counts. One is a Cabernet. This is not a Cabernet. This is a red wine. I have searched high and low on the internets, even on the dark web, trying to find out what is in the red wine. I have no idea.
So I think, Mike, would this have been available at the Camus house where they do the tastings for the Camus, the Camus winery? Because my cousin had this, and he talked about a red blend there that he just loved. I wonder if it's this. Cuz, call into the show if you get this.
Quilt has a red blend. All right, it's about $10 more than this. This comes in anywhere from $19 to $25, right?
And I don't think this is in our market price. You got this at wine.com?
No, I got this at a liquor store in Lancaster, Ohio. It is in our marketplace.
Was this like with your 22 held out and you had your hat backwards?
It's a liquor
like
store, man.
Tonight?
It's a liquor store, yeah. So let's just tone down the pomp and circumstance of this wine. We have, calm down. Calm the hell down. This wine, though, I have no idea what's the varietal. I'm assuming there's some Cabernet in there. Maybe there's some, I don't know, Riesling.
Riesling.
Maybe there's some Smuckers. There might be some other things that are extracted from something else that come in a bag that they pour in there.
Hunt's Lodi Red Ketchup Blend?
Well, no, because this isn't Lodi.
Our very vague.
very vague.
It says the grapes were harvested early, but then the next bullet point says after destemming the berries.
Oh.
Normally, they well. Yeah. You know, when you harvest something, yeah. I mean, it's a harvest early, very early.
I mean,
before harvest, anybody knew.
Harvest the love in your heart. We're trying to harvest the love in our listeners' hearts by bringing the Triple B back into the fold, but she's reluctant. There was a nice little pull there.
Only the finest wines. She did not die yet. Anyway.
We want her to join us.
You understand, though, that Joey did not harvest these wines.
Joey?
No.
Joseph?
Josephine.
Oh, easy.
No. He didn't harvest these wines. They do well. That's what's in this. Berries are in this.
It is a term for the individual grapes on a clump,
or
grapes.
They just harvested blueberries, blackberries, maybe some cran apples. We don't know. There's all sorts of shit in this.
It's
a curare.
We
it's a Solera. It is non vintage.
We do. Oh.
It is non-vintage. I told you to calm down.
Why'd you
down.
Do this?
I told. I'll see. Now you're not excited. Now
Why'd
you're
you
not.
Do this?
Now you're not excited. You're not excited, are you? I told you not to be excited, and you didn't listen to me.
Non-vintage is what got him.
It did get me.
It's very sourced.
Drawn in.
You tried so hard.
Boop, 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 boop.
I didn't draw you in. And this also is sourced, and it's a Californian. Red wine. It's a very big bottle,
California
though.
Designate, so that means it could be from anywhere.
LA. Yes.
You know, you get the best tacos in LA.
It's the younger vines from the sourced wines that they buy from the grocery store for quilt.
We could go to LA and get the best street tacos.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
The best fish tacos in LA.
Well, Joey thought so much of Quilt, he said, I need a second label of Quilt. And so Quilt, having this lineage of 5 years, they decided then to bring this out. It has a QR code in the back.
I retract everything I said derogatory about Joey Wagner.
Why?
This is really good.
It is good.
We're having a little caprese salad, and if you can get your hands on balsamic vinegar glaze, it's like the best food cheat ever.
And guess what? It's probably in this wine.
I think that this Trader Joe's version is better than what we have.
Ours is a little sweet. This is just a little bit more toned down.
And the Trader Joe's version is also like one third the cost of most balsamic glazes. I feel like it's better because it's not as thick too, so it's not quite as sugary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one we have is sweet.
It's
too sweet.
It's brilliant. You know, you make a salad, just drizzle a little balsamic glaze on it. You're having breakfast sausage with scrambled eggs, just a thin little line of balsamic vinegar glaze on your sausage patties. Delicious.
Okay. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. Sitting off air is the Triple B. Oh, she's leaving now.
Why are you leaving, Triple B? It's Wilfred. Hey, Scott, I drew you another picture.
Did you?
Yes, here. Here, Scott. You shake it just like that. That's nice, isn't it?
Shake and bake?
Get a little closer for you.
Thank you.
Oh, it hits you in the forehead. Ah, you're used to that.
You're welcome, Rebecca.
Yep.
That we're questioning your sincerity about Wilfred, and that really what you want to do is claim new pronouns for your puppy.
That's true.
Which is, what's wrong with you?
I know. Well, I have some winemaking notes, but I'm not going to read them. I'm going to read them. Might as well. Winemaking, I'm sorry, air quotation. Winemaking notes of thread count. The grapes were harvested early in the morning. Yeah, the Triple B read that. During fermentation, in a combination of closed and open-top stainless steel fermenters, punch-downs and pump-overs were performed to extract color, tannins, keeping temperatures low to build mouthfeel and maximize flavors. It was open so they could dump in the purple death. Anyway, finally the grapes are aged in... I'm sorry, I'm vomiting. Expecting that... Anyway, 50% French New Oak. For 12 to 16 months. It's a long time.
In an open vessel.
No, they closed it eventually, but, you know.
Do we know anybody in California that has open-top vessels?
No.
I don't think we've heard of that in California before.
Palate. Tasting notes, their palate. Bold flavors of boysenberry pie, sugar cookie, and toffee leads to subtle notes of strawberry jam and baking spice. The balanced and complex tannin structure creates a long-lasting, enjoyable finish. Sugar cookie.
Boysenberry pie.
Sugar cookie.
Boysenberry pie and
sugar cookie, motherfucker. Sugar cookie. What kind of man? You have to have no pride if you're... Well, Joe Wagner doesn't have any pride.
Wait. What a man. What a fine man. Mixed sugar cookie wine. What a man. What a mighty fine man. Boysenberry pie.
You have
What a man. What a mighty fine man.
Toffee. You have to have no, like, you just don't care at that point. You're like, sugar cookie. What? Sugar
cookie. I was all in on this. And then you said non-vintage.
Well, yeah. Joe Wagner.
Rob. You lost me at non-vintage.
We should have had this versus the conundrum to see, you know, in a death match. I do have a special wine, in case this is really bad, to jump in.
I'll come back into the void as long as you have very large areolas. Rob.
Dinner plate nipples. Anyway.
it's like non-vintage.
In the glass.
How can you do this to us?
In the glass. It is suspiciously dark. Very dark.
Well.
Suspicious.
We may not know what the grape varietals are. Auspicious. We just know that they're red.
Yes, very red.
It does have nice legs.
Oh, sure. 14.7% alcohol.
That's good enough.
Could have Zin in it. I mean, or Petite Sirah, or. Gamay, or they would be.
So we know it's a blend, right? Allegedly.
they make a thread count Cabernet.
Okay.
And this is not that.
So maybe it's a blend of Purple Death and Cab.
Yes. Or it's Purple Death with some Cab. Yes. Which also is Purple Death.
At what point are they going to start putting that on the label?
Purple Death.
Yes.
I know.
It's been a long time, really, since we've discussed Purple Death.
Oh, we're going to discuss it tonight. On the nose, that is not appealing.
I don't know. It's not that bad.
Spice cookie.
Fair.
Blackberry. Not sugar cookie, spice cookie.
It's kind of a robust nose. This is not a Purple Death nose.
That's a Purple Death nose.
No. It doesn't have that.
It's a Purple Death on French oak nose.
Prune pasty thing.
Well, that's Purple true. Death
has. It but really doesn't.
It's got a lot of French oak on this sumbitch, which kind of baffles the mind why you'd waste money on that. But I mean, you already said fuck it. So, you know. I don't care for the nose at all.
But it's not an improper nose. It's just not our favorite nose. It's
It's also a chemical edge to it. Somewhat like a linseed oil or something like that.
I was going to say some type of petrol-based nose, but in many of the California wines, that's not a bad thing necessarily.
Linseed oil?
Petroleum aromatics in the nose. It's not always a negative
thing. It smells
thing.
Like a fucking shitty Sherwood Forest candle that you'd buy for $7.
Sherwood Forest.
That's actually the name of the candle. It'd be green. It's supposed to smell like evergreen. It smells like that.
Sure, Forrest is like Robin Hood and Little John running through
the
forest.
I know. I wish Robin Hood would rob us right now and take this wine away and give it to the poor.
So you wish somebody would take this away. Who brought this wine to the show?
Just to punish you. I had but then again, I did tan it for the second one. So I did a Uruguayan tan.
Let's drink this quickly.
Yes, I know. Let's go in. Let's do this.
And you know, folks, it's not that bad. It's got a nice texture about it. It's round. It doesn't have this great finish. If it had a better finish, I would say this is a really good wine.
Well,
because I like the fruit, I like the mid palate. It brings out some, like, there's a forest floor, a forest in the mid palate that's nice. It doesn't quite go to minerality, but it has a really nice mid palate. The front palate, the fruit's a little nondescript. It's a little all over the place, but that mid palate, first of all, it's kind of a long mid palate, and it just has this forest floor thing, this evergreen thing. It's kind of quite nice.
Well, what I'll say is, if you are drinking anything from Orrin Swift, all that shit, the prisoner stuff, because you think the wine is a little bit juicy and jammy and not quite full-blown residual sugar, but, you know, winking and nodding, you know, maybe he has that in the back pocket a little bit. Those wines aren't that. This wine is, though. It's balanced. Now, it's balanced.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of gobsmacking, jammy fruit. It isn't wildly complex, but it also isn't wildly objectionable because it doesn't make a lot of the errors that some of them make. It doesn't use charred American oak. It doesn't reflect a lot of heavy residual sugar. It does have some elements of sweetness, but it's pretty well integrated into the girth of it. This does have purple death. But Scott,
harsh.
It's used well.
There's no such thing.
Well, you could use a drop or two and just give a little sheen, you know? It's just like when you make your sauces and you put a tab of butter in there, right? Just give it a sheen, right?
That's a tab of butter. You're talking about purple death. You're talking about grape wine concentrate.
Yes, but if you just put a drop, just to give it a sheen, this wine has that sheen of an element of some outside force assisting it along the way. You know, because what varietals line up like this without a little bit of assistance? None. They don't. I mean, Zin sometimes can do, but not really. So it's a little too rounded. It's a little too inviting. It's a little too soft, right? And you can't accomplish that with just oaking alone. You've got to have a little bit of help. That's fine, though, because of what it is. I know, A, Joe Wagner. B, this is the second label of Quilt. And I know what Quilt tastes like. Quilt tastes like a well-done version of Cabernet that isn't necessarily wildly serious. Right?
Right.
It's not trying to win the gold medal at the fair. It's trying to get 40,000 people to really like it and buy a case of it.
Oh, I thought when we talked about Quilt before, you thought that it was trying to get the French frying girl to go behind the stable.
Yeah, no, that too. No, it's trying to be a crowd pleaser.
Well, at least that crowd.
Yeah, but and this is trying to also do that. It's trying to capture the casual, very casual red wine drinker that isn't necessarily worried about ABCDFG. They just want a nice, warm, inviting glass of wine.
And that's what this is. I think you captured it when you said it's fruit forward.
Very.
But it just doesn't go too far. It's short of jammy. It doesn't come across as there. In my opinion, I would say there's probably a little bit of residual sugar here, but not in excess. It doesn't go too far.
Everything is just. It's right at the edge where you're thinking it's going to fall off.
And it doesn't.
And it just stays, runs that line where, okay, I can't object. It's fine. But I know where it could have gone. And, I mean, he knows how to make wines like this, though. That's just what he makes, versions of this.
And
Quill doesn't like this. Quill doesn't have that. It doesn't ride the line. Quill is just, like I said, a wine designed to be a crowd-pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
Good restaurant, Cabernet. It's designed to be what Jordan's supposed to be.
Yes, particularly older versions of Jordan.
You know,
this. I'll tell you what I really like about this, and I talked about it. It was the first thing that impressed me on the palate, the mid palate of this. It's got this kind of evergreen. It's not floral because it gives like
it's
a,
got a, like a new. There's some sort of there's an green essence.
Green tree pine thing
there
that,
is.
That doesn't
well, remember,
sound pleasant.
I
but
said
it is.
I said it had that aroma of Sherwood Forest, but there is some sort of a overriding.
And it comes that Sherwood Forest thing Rod was talking about comes across in the mid palate, and it's very pleasing. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I talked about forest floor. It's like if you've ever had a yard where you've got pine trees,
yeah,
and there's areas where the pine needles have been allowed to collect, and they get damp, and then you go and you cut grass or you disturb them and you move them. There's just this aroma of pine that comes up. That's what this mid palate has, and it's very pleasing. I don't have a comparison point to this expression. There's nothing else in the mid palate, but the beauty of it for me is it's rather long for the mid palate.
And I think that's kind of an expression of chocolate with the French oak.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's maybe that
and the
is
oak
where it
kind
comes
of matriculates a little bit. But it gives off that kind of vibe of a pine needle, of a forest floor. It kind of somehow does that.
Almost like a shell of a nut, like a shell of a walnut. Have you ever shelled walnuts or shelled pecans?
Yeah, that's fine.
There's an essence of that.
Yeah,
there's an oil associated. You get it on your hands.
Yeah.
That's what I'd go with this. But the beauty of it is it's not this kiss of a thing.
Yeah.
It lingers, it lasts, and it's almost the mid palate is almost as long as the finish on this.
This would make a good spiced, a good mulled wine.
Fantastic! It probably would be a good sangria.
Yeah, but I think more the mulled wine.
I think those two things go hand in hand. It's something you would make mulled wine with. It would be something to good make sangria.
I do sangria a little bit lighter, but
I hear you with that.
This is a wine though. If I'm putting tinsel on a tree. At Christmas, this kind of has that feel, has a tinsel kind of feel.
That mid palate,
it feels a little bit Christmassy. I don't know why. I'm on, I'm on the sleigh going to grandmother's house, over the river and through the woods. It has a little bit of some sort of a je ne sais quoi that kind of.
You're saying with that with like a little laughter in your voice, but it really.
It's not a wine.
It's
not a wine you can take seriously, but at the same time, it's like okay, this is because we've had several of these things. Some of them have been horrendous. His father makes Bonanza. That's horrendous.
What?
This
non-vintage wine have we had outside of a sparkler?
Troublemakers one.
But that wasn't
by Austin
awful.
Yeah. A lot of Austin Hope stuff tries to do this.
The Troublemaker was okay. This is a level better than Troublemaker was.
Oh sure, sure. This is a level a couple levels better than anything that Austin Hope has ever hoped to make.
If people drink 19 Crimes, they should drink this.
Oh Lord, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of those things out there. If you're drinking anything from the acronyms, the Ménage à Trois, yes. Any of that crap.
Oh, the Ménage à Trois.
Any of that
Jesus.
Shit.
Jesus.
Don't. I mean,
drink this?
This is what those wish they were, and it's okay. It doesn't have anything objectionable. You don't think that you're going to have regrets the next day when you're drinking it.
Yeah.
Maybe you would, but still.
You still want to wear a condom.
While you're drinking it?
That's right, Scott.
Oh, I thought you were talking about something.
When you're holding the glass, because it'd be...
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about something else.
Christmas. I don't have stockings, Scott. Did you know that around on the mantle? I put Magnum condoms. It's great.
Magnum.
Yes, I string up Magnum condoms.
Magnum.
Yes. But then when I have a fire going, raging fire, it melts the condoms, and the lube kind of melts and drips off the condom, and then it gets very slippery on the floor in front of the fireplace. I fell on lubricant and spermicide. It was very odd. I lay there for like 2 days because I broke my hip. It was horrible, Scott. Don't do that, folks. Don't break your hip.
I'm pretty sure you've slipped on lube and spermicide before, Wilfred.
Yes, but that was at an orgy.
Orgy?
I was burglarizing the house trying to sneak in.
Oh, you weren't invited.
And there was an orgy.
You weren't invited.
Seriously, Scott. I would like to think I was, but... No.
No, you weren't.
And it said open to all, you know, and I was like, okay. But
what did they say when they took one look at you?
They didn't. I was a burglar, Scott. I was wearing a ski mask.
Ski mask.
But I was pantsless.
How did that work out for you?
By myself, Scott. It worked out just fine. I treat myself really well.
I'll bet you do.
Scott wines and dines himself when he goes on business trips. Then he makes love to himself, too. Because, you know, Scott's got to put out. You know, he's like, look, he looks at himself in the mirror. He's like, look, I bought you a nice dinner. The least you can do is put out. And so he's like, okay. He kind of like browbeats himself into doing it. It's just bizarre. I don't know. That's what Scott does, you know.
Is it possible to sexually harass yourself?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
But I'm not sexually appealing to myself, so I can't.
I can't understand that.
I say, hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How about cooking something up for me?
So that's when you call the police on yourself?
What?
That's when you call the police on yourself?
No, that's when I spray myself with mace.
Just mace?
Yes. I used to have a taser, and I would tase myself.
Yeah, you did that for pleasure.
I would be like, hey, and I'd just go down.
Well,
3 hours later, I'd wake up.
That's one way of having somebody go down on you.
He'll be here all week, folks. That was just
odd. Tase yourself.
Tase myself. I know. It's pretty. Yeah, it could be autoerotic, you know?
Autoerotic?
I don't know. Isn't there a Styx song about that? Mr. Roboto, autoerotic something? I don't know.
No, I think it's Babe, I'm Leaving.
That's funny. Sailing. No, that's a different one. That's Christopher Cross, isn't it? He was sailing. They had a song about sailing. Oh, Come Sail Away. That's what it was. Yes. You can see Dennis DeYoung at any of your local county fairs. Because he goes to county fairs. He's a carny.
For sure. We did the podcast. It was Dennis DeYoung.
Yes.
Who else was playing at the county fair?
It wasn't the county fair. It was the Leicester Festival.
But it was Dennis DeYoung and there was another... Was it Heart?
No, it was a tribute band, probably.
No, it was somebody else on the line. Who
they
Dennis
have this
DeYoung.
Year? Who they have this year?
Well,
I don't know who the guy was. He's some country. Sheryl Crow was here. I know that she was there.
That was a couple years back.
Was it this year or last year?
Was Sheryl Crow the one who sang?
They were supposed to have, what, Lady Antebellum or Lady A?
Yeah, but well, it's Lady A.
That didn't work out.
Well, they got canceled.
Yeah, they did. It was Sheryl Crow this year.
This past year? Okay.
Because I said to Becky, do you want to go? And she goes, are you being serious? And then I realized that was a no.
Okay, so, no.
Hey, man. I didn't want to go.
Becky canceled her because of her boyfriend, the bicyclist.
No, Becky doesn't cancel people. She just never really liked Sheryl Crow.
I thought she didn't like Lance.
She doesn't give two shits about Lance Armstrong.
Oh, you should tell her about Lance, and then she would.
No, she wouldn't. She wouldn't care. She likes Rick Pitino, you know.
That's different.
In his Italian restaurant.
He's got very nice hair.
Does he?
Our wife shares.
Whose is it?
That's a good question. Our wife share that.
What, Rick Pitino?
Appeal for Rick Pitino.
Man, if you like that, just go dig up a corpse.
I think...
Just get a shovel, flashlight.
My wife cares for Rick Pitino. He is an attractive man, but...
He's an attractive man?
I think so.
Really?
I think he is, but...
I mean, compared to you, yes, she probably finds
him. Well, you know. But my wife prefers to Rick Pitino, she prefers Jim Tressel. That is not an attractive man.
Well, that's just a very boring man.
It is what it is.
I mean, Rick Pitino looks like a vampire.
Jim Tressel at least keeps his hands to himself.
Jim Tressel doesn't keep his hands to himself?
He does, unlike Urban Meyer, who...
Well, yeah.
You know, a plum on his thumb. Oh, no, that's not a plum, is it?
Oopsie.
Oopsie.
You didn't know.
I stuck my thumb where it didn't belong.
He's just into nursery rhymes.
She's very happy to see his thumb.
That's right. She didn't see it.
Well, she felt it.
It was a little Miss Muffet, wasn't she? She sat on his thumb.
I thought it was Tuffet.
Well, Tuffet. It's a Tuffet. Yeah. He calls his thumb Tuffet.
We shouldn't have brought that up.
He does. Sit on my thumb, young lady. What was she, like 19?
No, she was
22.
She was a distinguished young lady.
23.
43?
She was not. She was in her 20s.
I don't think so.
And guess what? He is not.
I don't think she was in her 20s.
No, she was young. She was young. No, look it up. How old was the girl that Urban Meyer stuck? Don't press. I think you'll find out. She was a youngin'.
Yeah. By his good standards.
He was just checking her oil, making sure she didn't need it changed. Need to top it off.
You're a bad man.
You're court low. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on the Wine. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, Scott, substitutes. That's what we're going to talk about. You don't have this, so you're going to substitute this.
Okay, so Mrs. Dell was my favorite teacher. She was in second grade, and then she went out on a long-term health issue. I think she died. And then this 22-year-old teacher came in, and I fell in love with her. She had red hair.
What was his name?
She wore... No, Brazier... We're not talking about...
No, we're not, Scott. Substitutes like Scott doesn't have the love of a woman, so he jerks himself off. That's a substitute.
Well, I was in second grade.
That's whatever you're into. You were precocious, I guess.
No, it's precocious, all right.
You're lusting after a 22-year-old woman when you're 8?
She was...
How'd that work out for you?
She gave me a lot of attention.
She thought you were a special student. Is this the one with the learning plan? Is he supposed to be wearing a helmet during the day?
This is pre-helmet. Remember, I'm old.
Okay, that's true. He wears his braces on his legs. He deserves it. He needs those, doesn't he? I put a cork on the end of his fork, right? Yeah, okay.
That's one way of talking about it.
Anyway. No. On tonight's. what we're talking about, a varietal. What is a good substitute for certain varietals? So you have cab, but you don't have cab. So what could you mix in? What could you choose instead of a cab, right? Zin. What could stand in place of a Zin?
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. So we'll start off with Zin.
Zin can be so many different things.
True. But say you were at a barbecue, you wanted to take Zin, you didn't have a Zin. What could you supplant that Zin with? You can't find it.
Thread Count.
The Thread Count is actually a good barbecue wine, now that I think about it. But no, what could you do? Straight varietal, though. We're not talking about Thread Count, which is a mutant purple death wine. But
Zin. What could you sub for a Zin?
Monastrell.
I like that. And
Petit Sirah.
Well, Petit Sirah and Zin are like kind of sort of the same thing because there's so many Zinfandel blends that have Petit Sirah on it. But let's go back to the Monastrell because I think if I was going to pick the second best amoeba grape, and I'm calling a Zin an amoeba grape because it can be so many different things. You just look at the Zins in SoCal, the different counties and the different appellations, and Zin can be so many things. It can be cab-like. It can be more earthy, like a Syrah. It can be so many different things. Monastrell is the same way. You have big Monastrells. You have more lithy Monastrells. You have silky Monastrells. I think that's a great pick for a varietal that is like the Zin replacement. Mm-hmm. And folks, if you don't drink Monastrell, the fuck's wrong with you? Get your hands on one now.
It's a good, reasonably priced, bigger red wine, yeah.
And it exhibits so many different properties. And it's like, when we first were doing the podcast, we talked about like Spanish wines were the best bang for your buck in terms of how much money you can spend, the quality you get. And I mean, Tempranillo is one thing, but Monastrell might be the best exhibit of that,
especially
quality for the price point.
Especially if you also sometimes want something that's a little bit more bolder. Doesn't necessarily focus on the complexity. It's more just big, boom, boom, boom. That's more Monastrell in those lower price ranges.
And I think the greatest comp point Monastrell is in is that we love the spicy Zins. Monastrell's does the same thing at the end. You get that spicy oak. It for whatever reason, comes across as a nice spicy thing in Monastrell's.
Yeah.
Cab.
But not, you can't say Merlot, you can't say Zin.
No.
I'm just saying, you can't say those.
But Cab. Cab, Sauvignon, what would be your substitute? I've got one in mind. It's one of my new favorite varietals, too.
Tannet?
Yeah.
Tannet's a good choice. Tannet would be one, but say you can't find Tannet. Beyond that, you're gonna have to be picky on the ones you choose. But Syrah, but more importantly, probably with a Iraz.
Shiraz. Oh, you don't even like those Australians?
No, I don't.
Aussie.
No, I don't. But if we're talking about something to sub in for a Cabernet. Yeah, you're going to have to be very specific as to the ones you buy. But
particularly
you buy
the higher quality ones.
Yeah, you can find, higher quality, but high quality to quality, Shiraz does work.
So why are we saying that? Well, it's got a similar fruit profile. The Australian, they really do, you get that prune, plum, savory fruit thing that you get out of Napa, yet it's got a sweeter profile. And
it's
similar body, similar alcohol content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do you know you're drinking a Shiraz versus a Cab? Well, they have that kind of brutish rustic thing.
They can.
Which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make it not a comp anymore. It's just... it just exhibits this other thing. So you got to work around that, look past that.
Mm-hmm.
Like any of the Penfold Bin series.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They fit as a cab substitute.
Oh, those are great wines. Yeah, sure. I mean, we're not talking like Canunga Hill, that kind of crap. But no. We're talking about the 30 to 40 to 50. Yeah, that stuff. Yeah, the Big 28. Molly Duker stuff. Those are all really good. Yeah. Kill the Canoon. We know those are good. Bass Felix. Penley. Although I've not seen the Penley Shiraz anywhere. We see the Cab Franc.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoy those quite a bit. Now, something white. Sauvignon Blanc.
I think, you know,
it has to be acidic.
Yeah, like a South African Chenin Blanc.
If it's dry, a dry Chenin Blanc will work just fine.
Yep.
You could also, in certain situations, Albarino, but that's going to have a little oily texture.
Yeah.
One that you could do.
But assuming you can have some Sauvignon Blancs that are thicker, a little more syrupy in texture that really translate to that.
A classic version of this. Classic. Oh, a Sauve, or whatever it is, from Italy. And a high quality, properly made Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Pinot Grigio has lost that kind of. So is Sauvignon Blanc. They've both been victimized and pillaged by the Vikings of shitty wines. But Pinot Grigio can work in place of Sauvignon Blanc in certain situations, assuming that it's not from Bibola or any of those places.
It just sometimes it gets a little.
I love Pinot Grigio.
You don't love Pinot Grigio. Well,
yeah. I mean.
That's not Pinot Grigio. Tiefenbrunner's Pinot Grigio. It's very good. But it doesn't taste like your Pinot Grigio.
No. I think Pinot Grigio wants to be like a one-off for Sauvignon Blanc, but it's usually not, is it?
Vino Verde is another one. Nice little Spanish white. Spanish whites can also zip in. Anything from the Med. So if you're doing a Spanish Med white, that's going to be good with the same kind of stuff that Sauvignon Blanc is going
to
be good with.
Okay, fair enough. But I'm not going to go to the Italian whites because I think that's a bad comparison to the Italian whites. I think Italian whites typically are more crisp, and I love them.
But Sauvignon Blancs are crisp, you dipshit.
Not often.
They are classically.
Not often.
Oh my God.
Not often. Not anymore. I would
they're
say
supposed to be.
I get it, but
it's supposed to be the driest, crispest white that there is.
But they're not anymore.
Well,
in France they are.
Yes,
in France they are.
Well, in California sometimes proper, when they're not overdone,
proper Sauvignon Blancs.
That's what I'm talking about. Is proper, not the amalgamation, because you really can't say A, B, C, D, F, G as to what it tastes like because it varies,
and
not in a good way.
Same with the New Zealand Sauvignon
Cloudy
Blanc.
Bay. That is Sauvignon Blanc. Interesting Sauvignon Blanc. Very good one. But, you know, and you can like Kim Crawford, but you also have to acknowledge that you like Kim Crawford. You don't necessarily like Sauvignon Blanc. You like Kim Crawford.
Yeah. And
it's like, I like Chardonnay. No, you like Kendall Jackson.
And there's you don't like Chardonnay. Nothing wrong with liking Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc. It's just stop short of being that.
It's not.
It doesn't have that crispness that you want.
No.
Now, you want the crispness. Then you go over to the other side and you go to Love Block.
Love Block
has it.
Love Block has a little more nuance though beyond that kind of gets it out of that realm a little bit.
Yes. I love Turley Sauvignon Blanc because it has that crispness.
Well,
it has that wonderful acidity. It's just short of a bracing.
It falls
acidity.
Into the Californian, I'm not going to call it trap, but the Californian methodology with Sauvignon Blanc of making it more than what it traditionally is. In a good sense,
yes.
But you kind of...
It's the best of the California style.
Yeah, it's a similar style to what Mary Edwards is doing. Now, Mary Edwards is the creme de la creme, really, and there's some other ones that are up at that level, too. But they are, though, getting a little bit... They're saying, you know what? Our wines are going to transcend what Sauvignon Blanc is. In reality, all Sauvignon Blanc is that Babbage black label that we had that we were like, eh... But that's all it is. That's all it's supposed to be. Yeah. That was quintessential New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. And neither one of us were like, can I get in line for the second pour of this?
No.
But that's what it is. That's why they don't make it like that often, because it isn't as palatable. It's not as popular. But that's what it is historically. Now, I mean, there's a lot of things that have been historic that we shouldn't do anymore. I mean, you know, we used to boil everything when we would eat it. We don't do that anymore. That's great. You know, we don't necessarily, use animal fat to cook in all the time. Although we don't smoke as much as we used to. There's a lot of things that we used to do that are traditional, maybe from a historic sense.
I'd smoke more, but I can't get it anymore. You know, it's like they all went legit, and now you can't get the black market stuff. And you were talking about meat.
I was. And by the way, Scott, I'd like to tell you something. Sonoma Couture. You can get the Sonoma and the Couture at Kroger. The big Kroger.
Yeah?
Yeah. They just redid their wine shop.
Oh, that was delicious.
They have flowers, Pinot Noir now.
I don't know about flowers.
It's Sonoma Coast. Okay. Top level. You can get, you remember Rodney Strong, Alexander Crown, or whatever the hell that shit is?
Yeah.
I got that.
It's a Pinot, right?
No, it's Cabernet.
Alexander Crown?
Or something, Crown something. I don't know. It's Ronnie Strong's.
Does it come in a purple velvet bag? It's Crown Royal. It's whiskey.
No, your dick comes in a purple bag, but it does.
Purple bag.
They have Dow's Reserve.
Rub my purple bag.
You know, Scott, if you took care of yourself, it wouldn't be purple anymore.
So, folks.
It's purple from use.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Don't punch yourself in your nuts. That's just not something you should do, Scott.
Not when they're
all. Even if you get off on it, it's not healthy.
Overuse.
It's not healthy. You're not using it.
Healthy?
Yeah, that's why your hands are all hairy and shit.
Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break.
You keep doing that, you're going to have hairs grow up in your palms. That's what your mama told you, didn't she? Purple haze. Rob has purple haze.
So, Scott, we're going to take a break.
Do we have to?
Yes, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Bowl.
Purple haze. Purple haze.
Back, folks. So, the thread count by Quilt. Scott, this is a perplexing wine for many reasons.
Really, it's not perplexing at all.
Well, it's not complicated.
Well, it's not perplexing either. It's like when I'm at home with we were talking about drinking wine with lights off, and Rob started moaning. I don't know what he was doing, but there were like thumping sounds. I said, Rob, turn the lights back on. But if you're going to drink wine at home with the lights off that has the Dallas Cowboys star on the label, why not drink Thread Count? Why not? It's actually pretty good. It's not complex. But we've talked about two great properties it has. It's got this fruit forward thing it's so fruit forward, but it stops short of being jammy.
Jammy.
It stops short of being too much. But then for me, the best part of it is it's front, mid, finish are balanced, but the mid palate, it's all one feature. It's this piney thing that it's quite nice.
Well, I'll say this. It's a really good quaffer. You're just sitting here not really paying attention, and you just take a sip. The fruit is pleasing. There aren't bad elements just from quaffing.
It really isn't.
And for your average drinker that just wants a bottle of wine to just get drunk off of, that's kind of what they do. And so it makes a lot of sense in a lot of situations. And if someone is coming in that they're like saying, I'm new to red wines, what should I drink? This isn't a bad choice to start them off on, because you can dry them out as you go along. But this one, this is a good starting point. I mean, it is. And are you going to learn anything from it? No.
Nope.
But it's not going to make somebody run away from red wines because it was this or that and they didn't like this. It's
there's nothing unappealing about it.
Not really. No.
There really isn't. No. It's shocking how good this is.
Slow down.
No. It's shocking because I was excited about this wine, then you said non-vintage, and I went, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this to me? This is the best, other than like a sparkler, and port doesn't count.
No.
Port's non-vintage.
No.
This is the best non-vintage wine I've ever had. Let me say it again. This is the best non-vintage wine I've ever had. This is a proper wine, and we have
often...
No,
it's not the best non-vintage wine you've ever had.
Talk to me.
You had Marietta Cellars a lot. The lot series, the Old Vine Red, Old Vine Zen, we gave 93s to.
I thought that was a vintage.
That's not. That's lots. So that's not. That. There you go. So there's that.
Okay, I'll give you that. That was so good, I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. I forgot it being non-vintage. Mm-hmm. Still, I'll stand by this. This for a non-vintage is high quality. I'm shocked how good this is for a non-vintage wine. And
fruit pairings, barbecue, good.
Yeah.
Burger. Good.
Yeah, yeah, you bring this to an outside event where it's in the 90s. And I don't mean the quality of the wine, I mean the temperature outside. State of Texas, this is the best wine you can ever have.
Probably. And you know, they don't really Brisket, great wine for that.
I think Brisket deserves better, but
It deserves better, but I'm just saying this wine is fine with that.
I'm shocked how good it is. It's not life-changingly good, but...
This would be a good red wine reduction with short ribs.
This would be a good red wine to drink with short ribs. I would pick other things, but...
Yeah, so would.
Why not?
That's, you know. What's your score, Scott?
86.
86.
Yeah, and I give it an extra point because of that mid-palate. I really enjoy the mid-palate.
You're only giving it 86 of your points.
That's
huh?
it. That's all it gets. It's non-vintage,
really?
Bro.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
It does to me.
I mean, you don't know what varietals are in it, but
we don't?
This is the first wine we've ever had that we don't know what varietals are in it.
Well, I think we've had quite a few of those. It's just not because it's copper cane.
What do you think are the varietals in this thing?
It's got to be Cab.
There's Cab, yeah.
We didn't really talk about that much.
I think it's Cab. There's some Petite Syrah. Or a Syrah. And probably some Zin. I'd say, if I was guessing, I would say this is 50-ish.
It's such an oddball to go that way, but...
50-ish percent Cabernet with 25 something.
I'd say it's... There's four things I'm going to say are in there. And I'm going to say three of them are there. I'm going to say Cab Sauvignon. I'm going to say Syrah. I'm going to say Petite Syrah. And I'm going to join you with the Zin. But I'm going to say it's Cab Sauvignon for sure and two of the other three things.
No. That's what I meant. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
Something like that. Maybe it has some Merlot in it, but I don't know. I'm not sensing there's no astringency or anything like that.
And for all we know, it has like six different things in it. But I don't think so.
No. No, I don't think it has six things. No. Predominantly Cab, though, probably.
I think it's probably got a nice leaner Cab, and the Petite Syrah / Syrah gives the body to this.
I'm giving this wine.
And kind of the glycerol-y, oily texture to it.
Well, I'm going to give this wine 87 of my points. From the Olympic scale, if it tastes like the varietal, it starts off at an 85. We don't know what the varietal is. So you have to kind of, the reason why I think this is an 87 is the fact it's such a nice quaffer. You know, it is. It's pleasing to quaff. It means nothing to draw air across and act like, you know, experts, wine experts. But from a quaffing standpoint, it's a really nice wine to drink. It doesn't have any objectionable elements. It just kind of rides that wave of good sweet fruit, well oaked, intelligently oaked.
Yeah.
Is there a little, probably a bit of purple death in there? A little bit.
He I think says there so. Is. I say no.
Well, I think they smoothed it out with that, you know? But that's to be expected. But it's done. You know what this tastes like? This tastes like the 10th generation of a wine that someone has fucked up 9 generations before, right? And they're finally starting to figure out how to do that. So they've seen so many wines before that have been fuck-up versions of this. And so this is like the perfected version of the perfected version of the perfected version. So they're starting to figure out, how do I make a wine that is pleasing to the palate, to just a novice wine drinker, but still not be shit? So it's that's not an easy thing to do, but they kind of are accomplishing that with this wine. And that's a unique thing, because so many other wines that have thought they were doing that just ended up sucking, you know? And I think back to, I mean, Austin Hope stuff, terrible.
Well,
because it's residual sugar.
Yeah,
this wine,
that's the problem with Austin.
There's residual sugar there, but...
But not much.
But it's integrated. It's balanced. The wine is balanced. You know, it is heavy on the front palate, right? But it's still a balanced wine. And so it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It has all three phases. Are all three phases amazing? No, but they're there. And there's nothing there that makes you go, ugh, oh, eh, nothing like that.
So you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend, let's just say a partner, and you've been together for a long time.
Mm.
Long time. But you're in love.
Okay.
You love him, her, whoever, and you're committed to your relationship.
Yes.
And they, once a week, on Wednesdays, they make meatloaf.
Okay.
And they're really not good at making meatloaf. But you're committed to your relationship, and every week on Wednesdays, you have meatloaf. Right? Okay. And it's not good. It's not bad. And that person, he, she, they, whoever, they don't burn it, but still, they never quite get it right. And then you take a business trip. You're out of town Monday, Tuesday. You come home. You don't even remember that it's meatloaf night. And you come home, and all of a sudden, the mashed potatoes, it's garlic mashed potatoes. And there's veal stock for the gravy. And you have that meatloaf. And the meatloaf's still not the best. But all of a sudden, it's like, fuck, this is pretty good. It's not great. This isn't the greatest meatloaf I've had. But God damn it, with that veal stock gravy and those garlic mashed potatoes. Honey, dude. Zzer. You think you could make this meatloaf on the weekend? It's pretty fucking good. Not great. It's not great. But that's what this is. All of a sudden, you've been having the same meatloaf for 10 years, and you come home after a business trip, and the meatloaf, all of a sudden, tastes pretty fucking good.
I've never heard...
That's what this is.
Folks, I've never heard a brain, like, creak and groan, but I did when Scott was trying to think up this story that just meandered and had absolutely no point. If you understood that, that thing that just went on, and I apologize, because, you know, that's 3 minutes of your life, you know, unless you skip. There's a skip feature on iTunes. Please use that if you need to, right there. And I would have, but if you do regret the fact that now you're 3 minutes older and you're going to die quicker because you just heard that story,
it's a great story
that had no point. I apologize. And if you send in...
It's really how your wife feels about your cooking.
You can...
I shared her story with our audience.
Send a request to the Wine Boat, and you can come on to the show and kick Scott in the testicles. So...
Which one?
The ones you don't use.
The left one or the right one?
You have to take them off the jar that Deb has on the mantle. No, but still,
that's not what she has in the jar.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, folks. Thread count by quilt. Not too bad. Joe Wagner, go fuck yourself. Nevertheless.
And then I took a road trip. No, and then when I came home, the bacon was the best bacon I've ever had in my life. And you know what that meant to me?
Nothing.
Okay. You're right.
Folks, I swear he actually did graduate from high school someplace. So
not really.
For Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu.
And then this other time when I went out of town.
Here on the Wine Boat. Good night, folks.